Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chris and Andre Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 36 of the Chris and Andre Show. I'm Andre.
I'm Chris.
Yeah, I had to think about who I was for a second.
I just realized that we now have as many podcast episodes as I have years spent on this earth.
Good Lord. I'm grateful for both.
Yeah, me too. I mean, what can I say? I had one of those moments the other day. Oh, this is what it was. So my daughter, I don't remember what we were talking about, but the topic of milestones came up. And she was like, what's a milestone? I was like, oh, yeah, kids don't understand that. And so I'm like, oh, it's like a, you know, a big, like, kind of event usually in your life. So, like, for some people, it's graduating high school or college, getting married, you know, it's like, you know, or like when Padre, me, turns 40. And I went, in 4 years. And I'm like, God, oh, it hurts. Like, you know, I mean, because I've known, right, that was that close, but it's like when you go, oh, you know, when did that movie come out? You know, when was that? And you look and you're like, oh, that was 25 years ago. And I'm like, oh, that hurts.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I literally, I have to remind myself that I am older than 36.
I like the way you very carefully phrased that.
Like, there are some times I forget that, you know, I don't think about that. You know, I don't think about my age a lot because I really try to enjoy life. And my kids kind of keep me young, but they remind me that I'm not 36. But it's all good.
At least you don't have anybody you work with going around calling you old as fuck all the time.
Yeah, I know. That was actually kind of that was depressing sometimes.
Hey, John, if you're listening, Andre misses you.
Yeah, lots of missing going on there. So I tried to actually watch the Broncos lose against the Steelers.
I didn't see any of that game, but I read a bunch of the stuff afterwards, because I mean, I kept getting the notifications on my phone that the game was closed and the Broncos were, you know, getting within scoring distance or within striking distance. I saw, was it Driscoll?
Yeah, he's actually a good quarterback.
Not a bad quarterback. I saw you guys lost Cortland Sutton, which is unfortunate. Like, I mean, holy crap, week two was a bad week for players.
This is why I don't get excited until like week six, week seven, because like you have injuries, you have trades, and nothing's set in stone.
Yep. Year in particular, it's just like everything feels like it's so up in the air. And I think without, you know, a lot of the practice time leading up to it, that's part of the reason you're seeing as many injuries as you are now, is even when guys are out doing it on their own, it's just not the same.
No, but I did. I sent you a story. Russell Wilson is probably he's got the hot hands right now.
Yeah. I mean, him and Mahomes, you know, and Mahomes looked a little more human against the Chargers, which was surprising. I mean, that's my old
dude. It was the Chargers. Like, they were giving them the business, yo. I was so like, why is this happening? And why is this happening to the Super Bowl champs?
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, I think part of it may just be that, you know, I mean, we're the Chiefs, we're the champs, right? Like, I think they beat I guess the Chargers beat them once last year.
Or maybe. Yeah, they've got tapes on Mahomes, and they kind of, it was a lock-in game for me. It was kind of like, huh, okay, that's how that works out. I mean, I'm
trying to remember, who's the defensive coordinator in LA?
Let's fact check ourselves.
Yep.
The Chargers, DC.
Gus Bradley.
Paul Casey, Gus Bradley. Yeah, I don't know if I would go Gus instead of Paul, but yeah.
Well, that makes sense, because Gus is an old Seahawks guy from back in the day, who was then he was the Jaguars coach for a little while. I mean, look, I'll be honest, I stopped really paying attention and pulling for the Chargers ultimately since Philip Rivers left. I still kind of am curious. You know, it's like It's like,
are you LA curious?
Yeah, I am. Only the Chargers, though. I don't care about the Rams. Like, the Rams can eat it. I won't say that. Okay, I was a Rams fan when Torrey Holt was there.
Dude, it's your squad.
I'm kind of sitting there going like, well, how are they going to do now that Phillip's gone? And so then they had Justin Herbert who came in, because Tyrod, I guess. He looked good. He looked really good. I thought it was kind of interesting. I think it was Bomani, and I know I quote Bomani on this show all the time. It probably sounds like it's literally the only thing I ever listen to.
We're fanboying. Yeah. I mean, he's like super dope though, so yeah. It doesn't really matter.
And he was talking about, you know, how with
so we literally, like, that just happened. We literally have family members pop in and pop out while we're recording. It's okay. That was my wife.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, but Monty Jones was talking about the old quarterbacks that moved to new teams. So Phillip, Tom Brady,
Cam.
And he had an interesting point. I think he was kind of focused on Phillip because Phillip had that awful interception at the end of that first game. And it was like, you think the Chargers would have gotten rid of Phillip Rivers if they thought there was anything left? Like, why? Why, you know, like, what is the value? If they thought that they could go win a Super Bowl with Phillip Rivers, they would have done it. You know, like, they would have given him the money to extend him a little bit or whatever. But I don't know, like, part of me sits there and wonder, like, is that true? As much as I've watched him play at the beginning of this year, I think it's certainly possible that he's done, you know, like that he has eclipsed or far surpassed the peak of his performance. And it's all just kind of like, I mean, maybe he gets lucky because the rest of the team around him is good, but I don't know. I think I lost you. You froze. So I just kept talking. I thought maybe if I kept talking, you'd come back, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Alrighty, I will just hang up. There's no real point in sitting here. Sorry about that.
No problem. So make sure you leave this in. I just literally saw the beginning of Drake's pop star video. New guy, Justin Bieber, lip syncing on his joint. And I like Bieber. I'm not gonna front, man. He's got crazy style. But anyway.
I'm not a big Bieber. I'm not a believer.
Yo, money's talented though. I'm gonna give him that.
I mean, there's lots of people with talent. It takes more than that.
Does it though? Does it though?
I mean, look at me. I'm the complete package.
Yo, but yeah, you're not on Bieber level.
Not yet. I mean, give me time. I'm only 36, Andre. I haven't even reached my prime yet.
Okay.
So I'm like a fine wine. I get better with age.
So outside of all the BS, we were talking about football. So ladies and gentlemen, sorry about the technical difficulties, but AT&T fiber service has been garbage today.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was that I was specifically talking about. It had something to do with
Bomani. How the Seahawks?
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, and I'm pretty sure I generally. So it wasn't about the Seahawks, it was about the Chargers, and like the Patriots and those teams basically saying, "All right, well, we know we got all we can." But I disagree in general because I mean, Tom Brady looked better in Week 2. Phillip Rivers looked better in Week 2. I mean, he still had a stupid pick. Trust me, that's. But like, I'm thinking that Rivers, if he's lucky, and I am not trying to say that he is Peyton Manning.
He's not.
No, so I know. That's what I'm saying. I am trying to make it. What I am saying is that he can, if he can find a similar role to what Peyton Manning did with the Broncos when they won the Super Bowl, where it's stop making those stupid mistakes. You don't have to, you know, have like the best arm. You just got to like take care of the football. They got a good running back in Jonathan Jones. They've got, well, they lost one of their receivers, I think, Paris Campbell. They lost Malik Hooker. But the defense, even with Malik Hooker out, is looking pretty good. So I don't know. I mean, are they that same level as the Broncos? No, definitely not.
No. Because you got to remember, the Broncos defense is still the star of the show most of the time, like 80% of this time. The problem with Denver right now, and the same thing with that Phillip has got to deal with, is the fact that the O-line is weak.
Yeah.
If I can break a gap on the right side and force you to your left, you're probably going to make some mistakes. And that's what I saw with Denver. That's why Drew Lock got hurt, because they broke the O-line. Like, it was like the Steelers were pushing weight and speed through the O-line, and it just collapsed.
Yeah.
And I've been saying for years now, at least for 6 years, that the NFL needs to put money in the O-line.
I mean, it's – I have always, I guess, understood, and to some degree, yeah, it's kind of like coach talk, but you build from the inside out, you know, like your offensive and defensive lines are where you start, because if you have a strong O-line, you can have a not superstar quarterback who can still get done what you need to get done because he has the time in the pocket, right? If he's constantly under duress because you have a garbage O-line, then even a decent quarterback, you know, is getting beat up constantly. Right. I mean, you saw that in years past with even like Russell Wilson, when they had a garbage O-line and he was sitting there having to take awful sacks, and, you know, I mean, he's the best, so he still made it look pretty good. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty awesome watching that matchup on Sunday night between the Seahawks and the Patriots. Like, I know you have never been a big Cam guy.
And he's like, we've talked about like double indemnity. It's like he's Cam Newton and he's playing for the Patriots.
Yeah, it's weird. But I have enjoyed seeing him have success there. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, I'd be lying if I didn't say that I think he can be one of the great quarterbacks. I just think that his ego gets in the way, his level of immaturity on the field gets in the way. And it takes away from his game. Like, I think he's got a good arm. He's got good legs. He can do a lot of good things in the field. It's just Cam. Cam gets in the way.
But I mean, did you feel like you saw any of that in that game? Because I didn't feel like there, you know.
For everything holy, the first game he ran for 70-plus yards.
Okay.
Like, that's not his job.
But that's what they're doing. That's not him. That's the Patriots. I mean, that's Josh McDaniels dialing up design run plays.
And I like McDaniels. Don't get it twisted. I like McDaniels. I was happy with him in Denver. I think he got a bum rap at Denver.
They got a bum quarterback in Tim Tebow.
Yeah. So that was almost like the perfect
that he storm. Traded back up into the first round to get.
Yeah, but I don't want to, like, I think that Cam can be a good quarterback. And I know there are people out there that know me, that you guys understand my disdain for Cam Newton. I think he's got all the right tools. He can be a great quarterback. I think his biggest problem is himself. Like, he gets in his own way of his success.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think he has in the past been the biggest barrier to him being a better quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, or being more successful as a quarterback. I don't know. Maybe it's foolish, but I feel like New England might be a decent place, the team, not the location.
Yeah.
But the organization might be a good place for him.
Yeah, I think Belichick reels him back in.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest. And I think that,
like, the post-game interview, you know, when he was talking about that last play, and he's like, look, you know, I mean, credit to the Seahawks. They made a good play. You know, looking back on it, I could have bounced it outside. So, like, I got to be better. You know, it wasn't like, well, my shitty fullback got blown up and the offensive line didn't do their job, and so I had nowhere to go. And I mean, like, I sat there and scrubbed through it in slow motion, and you see, like, it looks like there's a gap. Like, you, I mean, there's room there for him for a second, and then all of a sudden
it closed.
It disappears, and there's a dude at his feet. And it kind of looked like he was like, fuck it, maybe I can dive from here. And dude got, like, one, you know, just enough of his foot that it completely upended him. But I don't know. It was
That's not how physics works, though.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not. But I think in his mind, you know, what is it? Hindsight is 50-50.
Yeah. I don't want to crap on Cam. No. I still think he can be a great quarterback. I don't know where, like, if he finishes out his career in New England, I mean, that gives him like 10 to 13 years of good play, if I'm being honest. If he can figure out how to make this season work for him, I don't see them not keeping him there, you know?
I agree.
Now, if Cam ever went to Denver, I'd be like,
you wouldn't be on board with that one.
Yeah, I'd be like, I trust Elway with a lot of decisions, but that would be the one I'd be like, and no. But you know, it's going to be one of those seasons. Like, I almost didn't watch the game because I'm still on. I didn't watch the start of the game. I waited till like 5 minutes into the Q1, to start watching because I need a break. Like, I know it's wrong, but I need a break. I just want to enjoy football.
See, and that was something else that Bo Bamani was talking about because he was talking about how he quit, you know, being a fan of the Falcons, and he was like, you know, what have they ever done for me? Like, all they do is disappoint you. They get your hopes up, and then they disappoint you. And he was like, and I'm just not on that narcotic anymore. Like, you know, like, I just, no. Why would I do that? And he was like, and ask yourself as a football fan, you know, like, do you need another thing to be unhappy about right now in your life? Like, do you really need that?
Yeah, it's true. I have two brothers that are freaking. First of all, screw my brothers for this. They're not even real like sports fans. Like, you know, the only sport that I have, like, my older brother and my younger brother, we can actually bond on is UFC and boxing, right?
Yeah.
But football, they're on some bandwagon. Atlanta's like the second Harlem BS, and they're Falcons fans. I'm like, we're not from Atlanta. There's, well, except for my grandmother, my mom's side, there's no reason that we're loyal to Atlanta.
Yeah, and like, Matt Ryan's like one of the whitest quarterbacks in the NFL.
I don't give a crap about Georgia. And these guys are like Dirty Bird. I don't give a I don't care about the Dirty. No, they suck. They're like a garbage team. The only thing they had going for them was Mike Vick. That was it.
Yeah.
That was literally it. Okay. Outside of Mike Vick, I don't care. But I grew up, like, and this sounds super bandwagon, I will watch and support a black quarterback back in the day because there was like three at one point.
Yeah.
It's like Mike Tomlin. I really watched the Denver game, kind of still rooting for Tomlin.
Yeah.
Because I think he's dope. I think he's a great coach. I really respect him. He's a stand-up guy. I just don't want to see them playing the Broncos. You know, but I will pull for Mike Tomlin. I listened to the trailer for the Jordan thing. I'm in the same trap. I love the coach. The full circle. I'm like, I really love Tomlin though. Like, yeah. You know,
it's hard sometimes, you know, like in the past when the Seahawks and Chargers had played each other, it was always kind of difficult because it's like, whoa, crap. Usually what I found myself doing was rooting for the Chargers because I was like, they need this because they're totally going to blow some other stupid game later. The Seahawks are going to make this playoffs. Like, I'm not worried about that. Like, no, Philip. And especially after Russell won his first Super Bowl, then it was like, well, now Philip just needs to win one. So I don't really, I mean, Russell will wrestle, obviously.
My expectations are only like, I just see my team to go to the playoffs. Like, if I get to the playoffs, I'm happy. Like, I don't need the ring. I'm okay. Because I'm a Knicks fan, too, so it kind of like, I can get to the playoffs. I'm okay.
Cooking.
So, hilarious note, side note, show interruption. I got a text from our former coworker, and it says, "Hey, I know you are vegan now, and I found a really good recipe. Just wanted to share." And it is Mexican spiced cauliflower tacos.
It does look that really good. That actually sounds really good.
Yeah.
Oh, so I made a steak substitute a couple weeks ago. And I tell you what, it was a seitan recipe. I got it from this
seitan. Like,
I know, right? I got it from this black family's like soul food, like vegan recipe nice. Cookbook. Yeah, it was super dope. Now, the thing I have to remember when I do seitan is like I have to let it sit for a day. And I need to substitute a couple things with beans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I would have got the texture just right. But the flavor, the chew factor was a little bit off because I didn't use like beans or something else to substitute with it. But it was really good. And that, but anyway, I digress. But I...
Do you really though?
I don't know where I was going with that. I was just like... Oh, I got to tell you about this, but it was super like a day or two later. So, this is where I was
steak substitute. Yeah.
Yeah. So I took it like a day or two later. I actually fried this, the meat substitute and made steak sandwiches out of it.
Ooh,
bro. Oh my God. Everything except for the chew texture was on point. So I know like I'm close to the perfect freaking steak recipe substitute.
Oh, good. As soon as you perfect it, you're gonna have to have me over or bring one over and drop it off and then walk 6 feet away so I can eat it.
Oh my God, I was so excited though. I was like, this is on point.
So I think a few episodes ago I had mentioned that I had ordered the stuff from Very Good Butchers, mm-hmm. The Bean Butchers based out of Canada.
Yeah.
And so I finally got around to eating and trying the stuff that I got from them. So the three things that I got Italian banger sausages, which were good. So they come in like a plastic casing, which you take off and then you cook. And very, very good. Like I've still got two left. I took them to the beach the last time we went down there because I wanted to grill them. And we didn't end up grilling anything, so I brought them back. The pepperoni.
How was that?
So I will say it is probably, in my opinion, it is the best vegan pepperoni that I have tried yet.
Okay. So, all right, I did scope out their site. And okay. I was like, please tell me you got the steak.
No, I did not get the steak. I know. All right. I need to order again, though, at some point. So the third thing that I got, the pepperoni is pretty good. I'll go back real quick. So there is just something that is missing from the vegan pepperoni. I don't know what it is. It's like a spice or something that is just, it's not there. I can't pinpoint it. And I don't think it's the meat. That's the thing that's killing me is it's like, I'm pretty sure it's not the fact that it's the meat. It's something in the spice that is not there in the vegan ones. But the third thing that I got was their bean-based taco filling. And I'd say that was probably my favorite of the bunch. I got like four different meals out of the one package. Basically, you just put a little bit of oil in a pan and you do it just like ground beef, but it's already like separated and everything. So it's just like you're just kind of like pushing it around until it gets nice and brown and like a little bit, you know, crispy. But I did like cheesy hard tacos that were really good. We did patacos, so baked potato with all the taco fillings and stuff on top.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, those were freaking awesome. And then we did loaded nachos last night with it. So yeah, I mean, like you can get, you know, I got a bunch of different meals out of it, which was nice. It reheats very easily. You throw it in the microwave for a couple minutes and it's right back to nice tasty texture. So I think I'll probably get another one of those. I want to try their steak. It still looks like they're out of their bacon. I don't know if that's ever going to come back in.
They use jackfruit in a lot of their recipes, which I noticed. So I'm thinking like maybe that adds to the texture.
I think it does. Like, because jackfruit is one of those things that a lot of people use in place of chicken or pulled pork. It's the one that like everybody uses there. I've always had this like weird thing with the texture of jackfruit. It's either a texture or a taste thing, but I haven't ever prepared it myself. And so
it's super good when you do it yourself.
Yeah. So that's what I want to try. Do you get it fresh or do you do it canned?
I get it canned from Whole Foods.
Okay.
And I've been trying to get to carry and buy some more Vital Wheat Gluten and jackfruit.
Yeah.
But I swear I'm on the cusp of like cracking this steak thing. You have no idea, dude. I almost brought my meat slicer into the whole mix just to make like deli slices. Yeah. I'm just like, all right. I did slice it with a knife and my grandfather would be proud of me. My cuts were good. They were like nice deli slices, but I should have used a slicer. But oh my gosh, bro. Like, I'm so close. I'm like 0.01% off.
So I think you talk about like being so close to perfecting a recipe. I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before. Somehow I don't think we have. But Christy found what I think is the secret to the best vegan mashed potatoes that I've ever had. And it's weird.
Okay. You have to tell me.
Coconut cream. So, you know, like coconut milk that they have.
Right.
We got like our very first order from Thrive Market that she did. She got a couple of cans of like condensed coconut milk and a can of coconut cream. It'd been sitting on the counter or on the, you know, in the pantry for months now. And one day she's making mashed potatoes and she decides to throw in a can of this coconut cream. And there is no coconut flavor. They are the creamiest, like best tasting. So on top of that, she used a combination of russet, red, and golden potatoes. So
those are the best. Russets are the best potatoes.
So doing like, but I think the mix of the three, because you get the little bits of flavors of all three, which is kind of nice. And then we'd use like a lot of the Kräutersalz, which is like this German seasoned salt that's really, really tasty. And then like some garlic powder and stuff like that. But unfortunately, what I haven't been able to do is find the coconut cream in like the stores here locally. Harris Teeter doesn't carry it. Like Publix doesn't carry it. I kept meaning to go to Sprouts, but it's so far away that I never really make it over there. Finally, I thought, and I don't know why it always takes me this long to get around to it, Amazon. So I went on Amazon. I was like, do they got coconut cream? Oh, yeah, I can have it here Wednesday. So I've got like a giant case of coconut cream that will be here tomorrow. And I bought 5-pound bags of russet, gold, and red potatoes yesterday. So it's just going to be, I got mashed potatoes on the board for Sunday night. And I'm very excited for that.
So for my birthday, like I love potato salad and we had
some paprika in it.
Insert crickets here. No, but for my birthday, I wanted potatoes. Like, this is how bad my life is.
Bad your life is. Okay. Hold on.
Let me start with this. First of all, I am plant-based first. That's my diet. Because there are sometimes I may be eating dairy like cheese, right? Let me tell you why. Macaroni and cheese. Soul food macaroni and cheese. We haven't found like the, don't shake your head at me. Like you're still.
I hope you can feel the judgment. No, I mean, dude, trust me. I have had those moments too where, I mean, usually in my case, I'm like, oh, this is probably vegan. And then I eat it and I'm like, oh, I look at it. Like as I'm eating it, I decide to look at the ingredients then. And it's like contains, you know, milk and egg. And I'm like, oh, dang it. Yeah. But I also know that it's not like, well, that's it. I'm not vegan anymore, so I guess I'll just go get a steak. Like, you know, yeah. I mean, it's not that big a deal.
My new diet category is plant-based first, right? So I will not eat, like, meat. That's, like, a given.
Yeah.
There are probably things that slip into recipes that may or may not be vegan. So, and I'm okay with that. I'm like, all right, that's fine. But soul food, real macaroni and cheese with the crispy edges.
Oh. Okay, so, yeah. They're probably not even going to do it this year, which is such a disappointment. And I'm the moron forgot to tell you about the mac and cheese fest competition that they do. So, because, yeah, I mean, like, there's some really, and I know you would probably go and be like, this is garbage, this is garbage, this is garbage, this is garbage.
And so I went to, like, the one black tent. And
they have a couple of black vendors. And I would
not leave. I'm like, I'm going to go back to tent 3.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to tent 4.
Keep going around over and over again. But yeah, I mean, like, I mean, okay, and look, my taste on macaroni and cheese is probably not as refined or maybe even as specific. Like, I grew up with Kraft.
No.
Box.
No.
And a can of Hormel chili. And we called it Chili Mac.
No.
And I mean, up until I became vegan, nah, not really. I mean, like, throughout college, that was one of my favorite meals. Because, I mean, that's like, what, like $2 for a box of mac and cheese and $1 for a can of chili. So it's a $3 meal that you can eat for like three different meals.
You started that whole thing off wrong with crap.
Well, no, I mean, I understand that. But then, like, I mean, you get really, really baked and just sit there and eat like the entire thing and then feel awful for the next 24 hours.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
But no, so like, I mean, I completely understand. You know, I think I still classify myself as vegan because my ultimate goal is to intentionally not eat, you know, stuff from animals. If it happens by accident, because it's not like an allergy thing for me, I'm not going to, you know, like flip out at a restaurant, you know.
Right.
It's
so just egg actually filled a gap for me because, like, I love breakfast. That's my favorite meal of the day.
Oh, I have a breakfast recipe for you with just egg that I made yesterday. So, because I've been big on potatoes lately. Cut up some potatoes, little diced potatoes, right?
Breakfast bowl.
Yeah. Well, basically, like, so, like a breakfast scramble, you know? So did the potatoes, got them nice and brown with a bunch of seasoning and all that, and then just poured the just egg in around it and cooked the egg until it was all done and then put a little bit of hot sauce on there. Oh, that was...
Oh, okay. I'll do you one better. Potatoes?
Yeah.
Check. Onions, peppers.
Yeah. And see, I didn't have onions and peppers or those totally would have been in there. But
and tomatoes at the last part of like the last 3 minutes of the cook.
See, and I'm like, I love tomatoes.
But you don't put pepper on it, yo. That's what you're missing.
What do you mean I don't put pepper on it?
You probably don't.
Like ground pepper?
Yeah.
Of course I put black ground pepper on it. What are you talking about?
So how can you not have a real breakfast bowl?
Look, yesterday was a cook what I have because I haven't done my Instacart order yet. Okay.
I'm being super judgmental about this.
I hear it. I feel it. Trust me.
Yeah, like, breakfast bowls are my joint. And I'm like, yeah, I can not eat like a normal breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning and be like, all right, so now it's time. And just egg, it is so. Like just egg, if you're listening, if you care, I love your product, and I'm a big breakfast guy.
#JustEgg.
It's worth the $4.79.
It is. I mean, you are not wrong. Like I think I complained on the last episode or two episodes ago about the cost of it. The ultimate truth is like it's worth it. It is so worth it. And I'm not as big a breakfast guy as you. Like I'm probably more like once a week I'm gonna make eggs. You know, like. I used to do it a little bit more often. I would do like a fried egg and do breakfast sandwiches and stuff like that. Yeah. But I don't know. Like I always like eggs kind of came and went in terms of popularity with me or how much I really, really enjoyed them.
Oh, there for me, like breakfast is like the like that's why I love the Waffle House. I can get a hash. Actually, I can't eat the Waffle House anymore. I'm actually looking for the perfect what is a grater for my potatoes so I can do hash browns at home?
You need a mandolin.
Okay.
No, so a mandolin is those slice, the slicer thing. It's like a meat, it's like a deli slicer for your veggies and potatoes and stuff.
All right, so I'm going to Google fact check that right now. Mandolin.
I love this. This is great.
Yep, that's what I need.
Oh!
That's totally what I need. Only $3.75 at Amazon.com. That's good.
You're welcome. Yeah, trust me, that one's on my list too. Because when I was doing the diced potatoes, I was like, it was literally the best knife work that I have ever done in the kitchen. I don't know what, I mean, it was like Gordon Ramsay was looking over my shoulder when I was sitting there doing the potatoes. I was so careful, and it just, I don't know. I was laughing at myself when I was done. I was like, what am I doing? This is not that big a deal. It took me like 45 minutes to make breakfast because I spent 20 minutes cutting potatoes.
Yeah, that is going to be in the house like next week.
Yeah.
I'm super down with that. I mean, because like breakfast is like, and I think that like my wife and I, we've been going through the whole we're at the plateau of what we cook and what we eat. And it's like, okay, how do I make this fun and sexy again?
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
We need to do more recipe swaps. You and me.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to swing? We'll recipe swing.
Okay. I don't share all my toys.
Remember, like, Chris, I know we're close, but stay the away.
Yeah, I'm still a middle child, and you've never met my sister. Like, those, there are rules that live better in my life.
But seriously, we need to do like a big menu swap so we can have some different. Because I know, like, I get to that point too where it's like, you know, well, crap, what am I going to cook? So it's funny, you know, Christy made the menu board for us, and she'd put together a whole bunch of like items, you know, meals basically that we could cook. And one of them was sweet potato rice bowls. So like basically like a Buddha bowl.
Okay.
So rice, you know, sweet potatoes that are roasted, veggies, whatever else, and then like a lemon tahini dressing usually on top.
You see my
really
face.
Good. Really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine sweet potatoes outside of the way my mom makes them.
So like sweet potato casserole?
No, like baked, but with brown sugar and just like literally, if you're diabetic, you're probably going to die.
Okay, yeah. So these are not the, I mean, I guess like you could do them in like, you know, a maple syrup, brown sugar glaze if you wanted. I went more savory on the sweet potatoes because I was just, because I had like a smoked tofu that I tried, which was really good. Like the flavor was really, really nice. It was awesome because I guess when you smoke it, all of the moisture basically gets pulled out of it as the smoke gets pulled in and replaces it. So you don't have to do any of the pressing with the tofu. Have you done tofu yet?
I have not. I'm like, okay. That's on my list.
Yeah. See, and that's another thing that we can. Because, like, you've got the killer seitan recipe, and I can hook you up with some good tofu stuff.
Okay, that sounds dope.
So have you tried Impossible Burgers at home yet? Or Impossible Meat? Have you picked up any of that?
I have. It's actually sitting in my freezer.
Okay, so you haven't cooked it yet, but you have it.
I do.
Nice. So I had picked up a pound or however much it is a couple of weeks ago. And had finally got around to making hamburger patties out of it. And
how does it taste?
It was really good.
Is it better than the Beyond Burgers?
I have, since I tried both, I have been a staunch Impossible Burger fan.
Really?
Over Beyond. The Beyond Burger is more, to me, is more like a veggie burger. And the Impossible Burger to me has more of a meaty flavor and texture that I don't feel like I get from the Beyond Burger.
So to be fair, I think like the how you cook either one is the linchpin, basically.
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, it certainly
Like, I'm super pissed. I bought a new grill grill seasons ago.
Yeah.
And I can't think of what to use them for.
You can't think of what to grill?
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, I can do vegetables.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you can always do like your peppers and onions and stuff on there. I mean, grilled asparagus is one of my favorite things. If you like squash and zucchini, you can do those on the grill.
Yeah, I'm just getting hip to like zucchini. I used to not like it, but I went to Los Tres and Apex.
Yeah.
And they have a burrito. Oh, my gosh. It is so good. And that's why I'm actually clarifying my diet as plant-based.
Because there's cheese in there. I know, right? It's like,
this is dope. This is like, it's got zucchini, broccoli, onions, peppers. Like, it's just really good. And it's like, okay, there's cheese in there, but it needs the cheese for the taste profile.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Have you tried? So, Follow Your Heart is my
perfect. If I go to a restaurant,
I mean, I understand that. I understand, but I didn't know if you tried the other stuff at home.
I've got it. No, I've got a Chao, Chao.
I've tried cheese.
It's actually pretty good. Like, their slices are really good. I had like this triple decker, vegan sandwich today. Mm-hmm. Heaven, it's so good.
I made myself a salad for lunch today.
Yeah, I love sandwiches. Like, that's like, so it's breakfast sandwiches, steak. Like, that's
Andre's meal profile every single day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, it's like breakfast sandwich, steak. And I've been really going with like breakfast sandwich. Trying to get the right, you know, steak substitute. I love steak. Like, that's, I don't crave a traditional steak, but I love steak. Like, that's my thing. Yeah.
I wonder if you could almost like make, I mean, so the Impossible Meat.
You could probably put into a steak.
That's what I'm thinking, right? Like, you could probably do that because, I mean, like, I made hamburger patties out of it. What I did was I mixed some breadcrumbs and a bunch of seasoning and, you know, like, stuff in there. And then I had a little – I don't have a patty press, you know? Like, I need to get one of those for doing all the veggie burgers and stuff, other stuff that we do. But I have, like, a – so I think what it's designed to be is one of those it's basically a circular cookie cutter. But it's supposed to be for like doing the eggs, you know, on the,
right.
And so I used that as my burger mold and just stuffed it in there, pressed it down and then froze them for a little bit. So it actually worked really great. Cause just, you know, you just need something to get the consistent size on the outside. What was funny was that one of them ended up considerably thinner than the others. Cause I didn't go to do a good job measuring out the weight, which I should have. And that one I think was actually my favorite cause it was a lot like the old smash burgers, you know, where you just like throw the beef on it and you smash it down. And that's what I almost want to try next time is just taking some and like get my, cause I have a, like a, I don't know if it's technically a bacon weight or what it is, but I have one of the, like the heavy cast iron, presses. And so I wonder if I do that on it, if that, cause it was, I made it, Sunday night when we got home from the mountains. Cause I was like, man, I got something, like, I just need something to eat. I don't want a big meal. I just threw that on with, I love the Dave's Killer Breads. He does the, it's one guy. They have the 9-grain buns, the whole wheat buns.
I've got their sandwich slices.
Yeah. The whole grain sandwich slices are also, I mean, just, it's so good. That's what I usually do in the morning is I'll do a slice of that with some jelly and some Earth Balance butter.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Which is pretty good, but I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I've made lately. Oh, so you would really, I wish you were there. When we were up in the mountains, we were looking for coffee, on Sunday morning. And so we went into Silva and there's this, I was, you know, looking online. It was like White Moon, you know, cafe. And I'm like, all right, cool. They've got oat milk and cashew milk and stuff like that. It was one of the only places around that actually had those like vegan options other than Starbucks, which was inside the casino on the Cherokee Reservation. There's a which we had gone to the day before. It was a huge pain in the ass to get to. So we're like, we're not doing that. It was the most hipster cafe I have ever been in my entire life.
So why do you want me to implode? Like,
well, I don't want you to implode. I just wish you could have been there to share in the revelry that was the ridiculousness of that moment. Like, we pulled up, we're kind of walking over, and I look inside and I'm like, oh my. Because it's literally like inside, it just looks like a bar, but it's a cafe, you know, like they have the barista at the back, and it's just like, okay. But it was, I mean, the food was, I had avocado, smashed avocado toast.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. I don't know what, like, it had olive oil and like chopped up spinach on it and some mustard seeds and like other seasoning on a big slice of sourdough. Oh my God. Like, I'm saying that now, and that's all I want to eat. I remember,
yeah,
like, all
really
of that flavor is coming back. That's the first time I've tried avocado toast. I'd always thought like that sounds really bland and terrible in the morning. And I was just looking at the menu and I was like, I don't know. That sounds really good right now. And it's funny how like my palate has started to change. And even my mind is like, oh no, like those are the kinds of things you should be eating. Not,
yeah. Yeah.
Not the side of French fries.
Yeah, I really like, I enjoy like what you can eat now as opposed to like what you're kind of you know, grown up with and you're trained to eat, you know, like, again, but I still love steak. And it, if once I perfect the vegan steak, it's on. Like you have no idea, bro. You have no idea, dude.
See, and I'm going to work on getting you. I mean, and I know like I don't want to come off like I'm, because I was telling somebody the other day how funny I found it that you and I, completely separate from each other, made the same decision at the exact same time. We were like, I'm going vegan. And he's like, shit, so am I. Like, what? You are literally the last, you were like the Ron Swanson of my life. We like, when it comes to food, you know, like, I mean, meat and potatoes, that is Andre Powell. And when you told me you were going vegan, I was just like,
the world has stopped, right?
I mean, it is 2020, so I guess I shouldn't have been that surprised looking back on it now, right? Hindsight is 50-50, Cam Newton. And it's just, I don't know, man. Like, it's great. This is great. This is one of my favorite things that you and I just, because I was sitting there going like, oh, he's going to give me so much shit. He's going to be like, seriously? You're going vegan? And then you're like, no, I went vegan too. And it's all because we watched the same documentary.
Yeah, I know. Right now I can't turn the TV. Like, oh, it's just crazy. Like, I mean, but when I think about it, I had to like literally tell Chris to tell his ex-girlfriend, hey, by the way, I stopped eating meat. So I told her, I'm like, no, I love steak way too much, but I really don't. Like, I love the flavor profile of steak. That's about it.
That's my whole thing at this point, you know, is it's like, yeah, I may not have that exact same thing, but if I can get it close enough that I sit there and go, man, this is really good. You know, what does it matter? I mean, like, that's where I'm kind of, is like, I don't need that stuff. We as people don't need that stuff. It is such a luxury that became, you know, an everyday item. And
yeah, it should never been. Like, that's where we are with a lot of things in our society right now.
Yeah.
It's time for politics.
RBJ passed away, man. RBG, sorry.
Yeah, you know, that I mean, we were just talking about 2020. I guess, again, should have seen it coming. But
87 is a good run.
I mean, it is. Like, I don't fault her at all. You know, it's not, what was his name that decided to resign? Rehnquist or something like that? No.
Yeah.
And he was like, here, I'm just going to retire from my lifetime appointment in 2018 to ensure that a Republican can put another. So, yeah, I think looking back on all of the things that she had such an influential hand in, you know, when it comes to equality or you know, civil rights, women's rights, reproductive rights, all of those things, it's, I think, you know, it's certainly somebody that did a lot for other people, not so much for herself.
Yeah, the thing that kind of keeps tripping me up is like when the news broke on Friday, we were Tetchy and I were watching the news, and I was thinking it, but she said it. She goes, "Isn't it kind of sad that we only talk about people when they die? We don't talk about what they do when they're alive." And I'm like, "I'm so glad you said that, because I think that we should stop doing that." You know, yeah. Like Kobe. You know, and yeah, this has been a, you know, the last 18 months has been the loss of a lot of people where we don't realize the impact they have. Like I was watching this, I'm a big comic book nerd, and I took a break from the news today because I kind of needed it. And they were talking about Marvel's releases, and, you know, of course, Chadwick Boseman came up, and we haven't talked about Chadwick Boseman, but, you know, what kind of made a light go off in my head was he actually did an interview talking about kids that he was, you know, helping that had terminal cancer, and nobody knew that he had cancer. And it's like, that's the type of character that I respect. You know, he's struggling with his own battle, but he's there for other people. You know, inherently we all struggle with our own things, right? And we just have to figure out a way to be present for other people. You know, I try to model that in my own life. Like, you know that, like, I don't talk about things that give me the gut check every now and then, but, I believe it's commendable, you know? So you look at an RBG, you look at, and I laugh in my head every time I think about, they called her the notorious RBG. I always kind of feel bad about that. I'm like, I'm not saying that because, like,
I don't know. I mean, she kind of embraced it, I think. So
she did.
I'm not going to deny her that.
I'm just not going to do it. I don't want to put her on a pedestal, but I also want to, like, you know, I rock with her like that. Like I didn't follow a lot of her, you know, her case history or anything like that. I am a closet legal nerd, but I think that her decisions and where she voted on different opinions were pretty, it's pretty respectable and inconsistent. And I hope that they don't, I don't know. If the Republicans, you know, push a nominee, I think it opens up to a larger Supreme Court audience. And if they do, I hope the Democrats just widen the base of the court. Not saying lean conservative or liberal. I'm just saying, like, okay, if that's the play and you want to have a majority, and there's probably a 75% chance that all decisions will lean to that majority, then widen the court. So
you mean add more justices?
Yep. I hope they do. If they push the nominee through, I hope that the response is a larger court audience.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that idea before. But yeah, I mean, obviously we've added more previously, right? Yeah. So at what point, yeah, do you start to say, well, we need more opinions? I mean, I think there's certainly a probably a point of diminishing return there. But yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's awfully, it's, I mean, again, nobody should be surprised that, what, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when President Obama had the opportunity to, you know, was it nominate God, I can't even remember his name now. Garland, right? Garland?
Garland, yeah. Starts with a G.
Yeah. I was going to say Gorsuch, but that was Trump. And, you know, and then the Republicans made such a stink about it. It was like, no, it's got to be, you know, it's the election cycle has already started. It was 8 months away. We have to wait. We have to wait. We have to wait. They delayed. Now they're like, well, there's no reason we should wait. You know, the American people have already spoken. And I just, the hypocrisy, again, like, they're, you can't, even when presented with their own words face to face, they refuse to accept any responsibility for it. And that's where I just continue to loathe this position that we find ourselves in the moment, and want so badly to believe that we as Americans in general feel that way and are going to do what we need to do here in the next month or two to actually make some changes and get people that want to represent us and work for us and not what we have right now. Cause I'm so freaking sick and tired of it.
Oh, I am beyond tired of it. As I said before, we're like in, you know, 12 rounds and like our chin showing, our hands are down. And it's like, what else can we, like, we can't take another hit for 30 seconds. Like, we have to keep moving for 30 seconds.
Yeah, we're looking like Rocky at the end of Rocky One right now.
Yeah, it's surreal that, you know, like, we passed 200,000 deaths in coronavirus with the coronavirus. That's Cary and Apex.
Yeah,
there's 169,000 people that live in Cary and 53,000 in some change that live in Apex. That's like the city I live in plus my nearest neighbor. And it's like people have their eyes closed as to what's happening around them. I just think that, you know, it's like, it's please 30 seconds go faster. Like that's how I feel, you know. Can you imagine that? That's everybody in Cary, everybody in Apex gone. Like, that blows my mind, you know? But it's also some major cities across the country that is the same population. Yeah. But when I localize it, it's your town and my town. And I'm like, I'm not okay with that, you know?
Nobody should be, you know? I mean, hell, 4 years ago, people were up in arms about four people that were killed in Benghazi.
Right.
Right. But 200,000 people who are here on American soil, that's not a big deal. Oh, well, because the CDC says that only 6% of them died from COVID.
And Simon, yeah, the CDC.
Like, somebody needs to just shut down the CDC. I think we've had enough of them. I mean, like, but this is where, again, I'm so flabbergasted that it seems every single one of our institutions are failing us simultaneously. You know, like we put ourselves in such bad shape thinking that everything was fine when all around us, the foundation was being pulled out from underneath us or has just been, you know, washing away and eroding. And now it turns out that we're standing on the one remaining pylon that happens to be there. And
it's the fragility that we talked about probably in February, right? Like our slip is showing. Like we realize, like, we just, nothing is as it seems. You know, I know I've been like blowing you up with like the layoffs across white collar places and restaurants, like, you know, crap in the bed. Like, we're not even at the end of phase one of the impact on our country. And I don't think people have really grasped that, like, reality. And that's what blows my mind. It makes me stop. That's why I was like, all right, today and yesterday also, the last week or so, I've been trying to, like, pull back just a little bit. Except for the fact that I watch the Social Dilemma documentary.
Oh. That's on my list. I mean, I assume I need to watch it.
Oh my gosh.
It'll probably make me never ever want to get online again, but
I mean, everything we've talked about as far as like what the game that social media plays is laid out in more detail in that documentary.
I mean, we had firsthand knowledge of that. Sure, E-Area wasn't Facebook and it wasn't, you know, Google or anything like that, but we were doing the exact same stuff, you know? What are people looking at? What is this person doing? I'm going to literally record the session of them viewing the website. Like, all of their clicks, where they scrolled, all of this stuff, so I can try and determine what it is that they're looking for and where I need to put stuff. And
can we build a profile? Can we, like, figure out where they work at? Can we understand what region they are, what demographic? Those things are beyond shady.
And and that's the other thing that I think, just because at no point did anybody of any real authority stand up and say, hey, guys, sure, we can.
But should we?
I mean, literally, it's like freaking Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. Your scientists were so busy asking if they could, they forgot to ask if they should. And that's where I feel like we are with social media. Is it's like they're like, oh, look at all this cool shit we can do. We can track everything everybody does. We can personalize advertising. So they're not, I mean, and yeah, like on one level, it's like, great, I'm not getting, you know, pills for Rogaine because I got a full head of hair. But at the same time, like, do I really need the entire world of advertisers having access to my social media profile, or at least like the demographic information so that they can target me?
Well, a long time ago, I don't know where I learned this phrase from, but it's just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And I told you that.
I won't go that far to say that, but so that must mean that somewhere in the early 90s or mid 90s, that was becoming a problem, right? This is prior to the internet like taking off. Right. So at some point in my younger years, probably my formative business years, I realized just because you can doesn't mean you should. I don't know where we get off the rails with that, where we just like, we can, let's do it. Like, those aren't the two same things. And tell your dad again, I love the Lee Iacocca book. Like, I freaking love it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you though. Like, I don't know where everything kind of started to go wrong. Is it a matter of the people who were ultimately kind of in charge of these new technologies, these new online, you know, platforms, you know, weren't the type of leaders that we've had in those positions previously? Weren't people that ultimately had, you know, society's best interest or really gave a damn about anybody other than themselves? Have we gotten into this era, you know, back into an era of such self-centeredness that we don't mind if the thing that we create is ultimately to the destruction of humanity, as long as I got to cash out and sleep with a bunch of pretty chicks along the way? Like,
but that's looking at it from a developer's point of view, right? So my attraction to writing software is solving the puzzle. Like, I don't like,
sure, but I feel like to some degree, that's why we ended up in this situation, right? Like, the problem kept getting presented and developers kind of went out and said, well, I can solve it. But again, the question wasn't, should we? It was, can we? And the answer is, yeah, I can. But at what point do we draw the line and say, look, yeah, I can do a reverse IP lookup to determine somebody's location based on this stuff, right?
Yeah, but who's at fault for that? Is it the guy like me that's trying to solve the puzzle? Because my addiction is the solve. Right? Or is it the person that's saying, let me monetize this? Like, that's
where, I mean, but I don't know that anybody's like directly at fault. Like, that's part of the situation we find ourselves in, is that like,
now there should be some type of morality to like business. Like, we can't exclude that anymore. We got to stop saying like,
well, okay, then I mean, where do you feel like the morality?
I don't know. Like, I can tell you for like my product and like the two I have in the queue, like, I don't want social login. I don't want like certain things that, you know, compound the problem. So I don't know the answer to the overall where we currently are. but I can say that, all right, we can, but we're not going to. So that's where it's like, I don't have a solve for that. I can look as an outsider and say, yeah, but I can totally see somebody saying, how do we engage people? Let's make a like button. You and I both know at eArea that I was the mastermind behind people intentionally commenting on this piece of content.
Right.
Those are people we should target.
Right. People saved, you know, this article to come back. Yeah. And that means, if nothing else, right, that this content, it's an indication of the value of the content.
Yeah. So, like, for me.
But to me, I guess, like, those kinds of interactions where I'm not taking your personal information about you and then reverse engineering it to target, you know, somebody else's ad to you. Like, I'm taking the information of you engaging with content on my site and using it to provide more content.
But that's the problem. That's where it's like the Pandora's box, right?
Because the line there is very thin and blurry.
Yeah.
Point do you step over the line and say, okay, well, now I've identified like exactly who this person is. And, you know, if somebody else were to get their hands on this information for whatever reason, could potentially do. And that's the other thing, right? Is like your freaking digital footprint that you have out there. I mean, I had Google Chrome does its security assessment a couple of months ago.
I bet you yours is garbage.
Oh, you don't need. I mean, yeah, like it was. I had 83 some odd accounts that I had to go through and update stuff on because most of it was. I had the same password for almost all of them. You know.
Yeah,
I've gotten better about that. I am fixing that. You know, tendency.
I don't know any of my passwords. Like, if I'm being honest, like I would.
You use a password manager though, don't you?
I do.
But don't you have a password for that?
I do. But you can't, like, they're...
No, I mean, I understand, like, yeah.
They're, like, layers removed from each other. Like, you'd have to know, like, at least 10 things to know what my passwords are to even, like, get to the front door. Yeah. And I get that. But I'm just saying, like, you know, when I watched that documentary, I was thinking, like, I was, you know, critiquing myself. I'm like, huh, I'm part of the problem. But, yeah. Like... And when you think about it, like, it doesn't take a lot of information for me to build a profile on you. It literally would not. It would be like, okay, you did this. I can assume you did this, and I can match those two things up. That is barely swinging the bat to get a bunt. Yeah. Like, when I think about it, again, I don't have a solve, but I can tell you that we were both part of the problem.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, you were asking the morality question, and I think it ultimately the answer is both, right? Like, both people have an obligation there to look at what they're doing and ask whether or not they should, whether it's right, right? I mean, coming back to the question of understanding the difference between right and wrong.
But when we push back, when I would push back, the directive was a directive, right? Like, that's where... Sure.
And I'm not... I don't want it to sound like I'm saying, well, then you should have quit, right? Because that's not, but if you, I mean, I think to some degree you fulfill your moral obligation if you voice your opinion. I mean, if the company itself changed, you know, overrides, right, or vetoes your input, you're not in a position to do anything about that.
I agree. But I'm saying, like, yeah. we've opened and we've gone down this road, and now we're trying to find a map as to what the right play is next.
Well, and that's where, again, I wonder, and maybe it's not even that we had poor leadership, but had we had better leadership at Facebook, at, you know, some of these other companies early on, or at key development stages, you know, could we have avoided some of where we are now? I don't know. I mean, it's obviously, it's a huge hypothetical. Welcome to Chris's crazy conspiracy corner for kooky concepts and other.
the problem is monetization, right? You can't, like, none of these are like charitable endeavors.
Exactly. Like
that's the paradigm.
We're not making the world better by advertising to you. That's, right. You know, like, that's what it really boils down to. And that's, I think, because I've seen the trailer a couple of times, and I think
it's painful to watch, bro.
Yeah, but I think there was a line from it that was talking about, like, what happens when people realize that they're the tree, right? Like, they're the animal that is being monetized at this point. Like, I feel like there has to be a pushback.
Potty break, so you have to like do a pause there. But pushback.
While Andre is taking a quick potty break, this is your host, Chris Smith, bringing you some smooth jazz on this sultry Tuesday evening. You tuned in, and I'm a tune out. I don't know what that means. Oh, I heard a toilet flush. Did you wash your hands?
Did I? The world will never know.
So,
pushback.
Yeah, I think, you know, like we've started to see some of it. And this is, you know, very typical of new technologies and stuff like this, right? It comes out, we're like, ooh, shiny new toy. And then eventually we go, oh, we kind of need to put some guardrails up because the shiny new toy is great, but we're going to drive ourselves right off the cliff, a la Tesla cars and their auto drive. I mean, how many people? This is the problem, right? This is, again, where I come back to, like, freaking humanity, man. Like, you people just can't be trusted with this stuff. This is why we can't have nice things. You know, like, do you want ants? Because this is how you get ants. But
aside from that,
get off my lawn. Sorry.
It's the question of, like, with me and tech companies, it's like, at what level do you decide that convenience is worth more than just your privacy?
Sure.
Right? And the promise of social media, and that's the target. How useful really is it? I've seen like probably three articles today about the echo chamber of social media. And
we've talked about that numerous times, 13 episodes ago, in fact.
Yeah. And so it's like, all right, are we just like realizing the stove is hot? Right. Like,
I think that's part of it. Yeah. I mean, we're pretty slow to react overall. I mean, look at what we've done over the last 6 months here.
That's true.
I mean, there's people who literally still think that wearing a mask is some massive conspiracy.
You're right. I mean,
I'm sorry.
It's hard for me to take off my developer hat because I think that technology does provide a path to a solution or a solve.
I thought maybe it's because you're also wearing your developer shirt.
Actually, that's true too. This is the one E-area shirt that did not make it into the garbage.
Do you know? All right, so I want to take a moment. If there's anybody from E-area that happens to listen to this podcast still, I would just want to go on record as saying that shirt was my idea.
Really?
Yeah. I never got credit for it. And that's cool. You know, it's not, but because I'm obviously like making a stink about it now. But I swear, like, I don't want to call people out, but I'm trying to think. What were the nicknames that we had for these people?
Was it Sam that just kind of like
no it wasn't it, yeah? Sam I'll bleep it out when I come back later, but so it was totally, I swear, stole the credit for that shirt.
Oh, Macaroni.
Yeah.
We can call him Macaroni.
You know, because I remember, like, I was like, because I had just started working on HTML. And I had no idea what a div was because my previous HTML experience was Angel sites or, you know, whatever. You still know
what a div is.
I know what a div is. Okay. Look, just because my expertise happens to be in table-based HTML emails does not mean I don't know what a div is. I do know what a div is. You don't know what a div is. But anyway, I was like, div, that's funny. That's almost like dev. And then you could have the closing dev, you know, bracket or, you know, on the back. And then, of course, they cheaped out on the first round of shirts because it was like an extra 50 cents to get the thing printed on the back. And so then we sent these shirts out to a bunch of developers and they're like, well, where's the closing tag? And I'm like, I swear to God, I just don't even know.
So when we open up our swag store, this will be a we will.
Yeah, we will. I mean, what are they going to do? They didn't copyright it, right? I mean, there's no way. They can't claim that.
Yeah, good old E area. No hard feelings.
No, I mean, it's, you know, we've talked about it before. If it weren't for that place, you and I wouldn't be sitting here doing what we're doing right now. You know, like, I know I'm not one of those, like,
I'm not
manifest bitter. Destiny, like, you know, everything's predetermined kind of thing. But I am somebody that thinks, that does believe that sometimes things happen for a reason. Or maybe it's just that you have to look for the good in all situations, try to see the positives.
Yeah, I'm
that's not you. I mean, and I understand that. I'm, that's part no, of why I'm still, I love you.
Well, I'm still a Christian, so I do believe that everything works together for good. And it's a hard lesson to learn, right? But I'm also wise enough to know that sometimes, crap, maybe I made a mistake. So I think that in and of itself, the things balance out.
Well, because, I mean, maybe that's the good, right? Is that you have the opportunity to learn that that was a mistake and hopefully move right. on from it. And that's, you know, like, that's the thing I think a lot of people miss and part of why we find ourselves, you know, it's like the people who want to run up to somebody in a store because they're not wearing a mask with a cell phone in their hand, right? What are you doing? Yeah. What is the benefit here, right? All you want is your 5 seconds of fame that your stupid little username or whatever is going to be on this video, right? Or it was shared by so-and-so on their Facebook thing.
Well, I'll be the first one to tell you, like, a few months back, and maybe we talked about this, there was a girl in the grocery store. Well, so I was checking out at the self-checkout, and like, there was three guys not wearing masks. They looked like people that may have a different voting preference than myself. And we both needed help from the clerk. And I, you know, so the little button went on, the little red light was flashing. And I'm like, for everything holy, please help them first, because I don't want you. I didn't want that poor girl to have to deal with those three guys.
Yeah.
Like, that was my own, like, I was like, I can wait like 3 minutes. This doesn't delay my day at any point, but you're right. I mean, like, I don't need the, I'm more concerned about the person that may not be equipped to defend themselves from the crazy on the other side of the conversation. But I also can't assume that they're all crazy.
Yeah.
I would never, if somebody, like, I saw somebody the other day in the grocery without a mask. I don't care. I just, like, I walked like 5 or 10 paces to my right to just avoid them.
It's not, I mean, that's the thing, is it's ultimately not that big of a deal. Yeah. I mean,
It is, but it is.
I mean, it's not your job. Like, it's not your responsibility to go around and call out everybody else. And I know that a lot of people like to think that it is, but ultimately, like, take care of yourself, take care of your own family. If you see somebody out that's not wearing a mask, you know, that's like, you have the ability to leave that store, right?
Yeah.
If you feel that uncomfortable, there are other grocery stores for you to go shopping in. There are other Walmarts that you can go to. Like, you know, I mean, that's the thing that I just, because people become so self-righteous in this stuff, you know,
where I'm, it's a, like, self-monitored pacifist. Like, I can probably defend myself in a vast majority of the situation that I'm involved in, but I don't want to put myself in a situation where I have to decide, do I defend myself? Do I become the aggressor, or do I walk away? I just don't want to think, those are three choices I don't want to have to think about.
Yep.
That's how my mind works. Defend, aggress, or, like, walk away. I don't want to think about it. I just want, like, I want to go home with my beer and then, like, call it a day.
Yep.
Like, but the people that go, maybe it's an adrenaline rush. Maybe it's they're trying to prove a point.
I mean, I think part of it is the hope that they will embarrass that person into not doing that again. You know, like, I think I don't know. Because they think that that's somehow helping the situation. If I can convince this one person to wear a mask, every person I convince to wear a mask is like convincing somebody to vote for Joe Biden. Like, I keep getting all of these text messages and emails and Facebook and Instagram, share that you're registered, convince your friends to vote. I swear, if you aren't convinced already to vote, what am I going to say that is going to convince you? If you have stuck your head in the sand like an ostrich and are not paying attention to where we are and in this country and in this world right now, enough that you aren't motivated to get out and vote whichever way you see fit in November, I'm not going to change that. What am I? I'm going to, well, it's really important because you should think about people other than yourself. Probably not going to happen. I mean, that's like, if they were capable or really cared about thinking about people other than themselves, they'd already be motivated to vote. Like, this is the whole thing. I don't know. It's not that I don't want people to vote, but it's.
Well, we've done a very good job of not mentioning the name that should not be mentioned.
I said his name once. I'm going to bleep it out.
I am so like, yo, he doesn't get that much from me. This is why, like, we know that there is a group of Americans that are going to vote for this guy no matter what. It's up to the reasonable people, the people that have like a shred of, I don't want to call them deplorables. Like, I think that's wrong. Right. But it's up to everybody else. So if it's 35 to 42%, it's up to the, 60-ish percent to hopefully put him out of office. But here's a fun fact that I just learned the other day. Of most Western civilizations, or democratic countries, less than 40%, or maybe it's less than 60%, it's 40 to 60% of our registered or eligible voters vote, which blows my mind. So whether you're a progressive or a liberal or a conservative or a moderate, we leave the country to less than a majority of the country, basically. Of that same percentage, 80% is like white. So if you're a liberal or progressive or moderate, that's non-white, and you complain about anything, that means that you're not even trying. I was talking to a couple of my kids the other day, and I'm like, hey, are you registered to vote? The vast majority of them said no. Okay, please vote. I didn't say who to vote for. Yep. But I also reminded them, do you understand that for people that look like us to vote, people protested, marched, some died for us to have that right. And if it was important enough for them to take on that flag, the least we can do is vote. And I didn't say vote for fill in the blank. I just basically said, if it was important enough for them to vote, the least we can do is vote.
I mean, participate.
Yeah. Show up.
Cause you're right. Like for lots of groups, right, that aren't me, white male, like there was a massive fight to get the right to vote. And
right.
And even for white men, like, I mean, the, American Revolution, like that was essentially like those guys fought and died for the right to vote, to be a democracy. And right. I mean, like nobody in this country, I think, should ever take that responsibility for granted. I laughed because I got my, was it the voter participation center sent, the thing, and it's like it has your voter score compared to the average voter.
Okay.
And I was like way up here and the average voter is like wait, and I'm like, seriously? I'm not even like that. I mean, I probably miss a number of local small elections and stuff like that because it's not on my radar, but like, I mean, every November I'm like, yo, it's time to vote, right? Like
what's on tap, right?
Yeah. Like, all right, let me see what I'm going to do. Like, because ultimately I understand that, you know, there's bond measures and stuff that are in my neighborhood that are either going to raise my taxes or not provide the funds to, you know, certain activities or
things. And I personally don't want your taxes raised because I don't want all the carryites to come to my quiet, small city.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, Cary and Apex are both beautiful. I think I've talked before about my disdain for the town that is Morrisville. I want to take a moment before we close things out. Morrisville. Thank you for finally getting around to fixing the... I mean, I assume it was a sinkhole. The size of a manhole on 54 between like Morrisville Parkway and Weston Parkway.
For everything that's holy, do you understand that there is no reason for you to go to Morrisville?
I don't go to Morrisville. I have to drive through Morrisville to take my daughter to her school.
You do not.
Well, it's the shortest way. The way there is not the problem, right? It was the way back. So,
you do not. There's
no. I mean, like, this is the. It's 54. Okay. Here's my other issue. This is where it's all going to come home.
Okay.
All right. If you look at a map of Highway 54, which is not like a highway, right? It's mostly smaller roads. Part that goes through Morrisville is the worst part. They don't invest anything. Okay, so the problem that I have is that the left lane has been closed for months now. They just had barrels up and a sign that said left lane closed. Nobody
was working on it.
On top of that, nobody that drove there paid any attention until they were running into the freaking barrels. All of a sudden it was like, oh my God, I stopped looking at my phone, you know? And so then they slam on their brakes and they want to pull into my lane because I know that that's coming and have been over here waiting. So I got to the point where I was the nice guy, right? Letting all of those morons that weren't paying attention come in, because otherwise
I'm going to stop you because your mental GPS is garbage. You take Maynard to, what's the name of that road? Oh gosh. That goes through the Weston subdivision. It's named after a family. You can take Maynard. Evans Road.
Okay.
Right back to Chapel Hill Road. You probably avoid.
You can take it to Airport. Yeah. So that's how I came home today.
It was faster?
No, it was slower. But I didn't have to sit in that stupid traffic. Here's the best part, though. They've literally closed now to fix it. They closed both eastbound lanes. But they don't have anything up to direct people to move over to the left, because you can only turn left onto Weston. It's the only place to go, because then there's an apartment complex that's on the right there. So you have to turn left on Weston. So my favorite is watching these morons drive all the way up in the right lane with all of these signs that say road closed, and then get there, get halfway into the intersection, and decide they're going to turn left onto Weston from there across three lanes of traffic and almost hit three different cars. So yeah, I mean, on the way home from picking up my kid today, I took a completely different route because I was like, I'm not going to deal with those morons. So I understand. My primary gripe was that they waited so freaking long to fix it. And then today I saw that what their solution, I get it. I mean, I know they got it. They made it bigger. They dug out the entire section of the street. And my favorite though was when I drove by and I saw right next to the hole, spray painted on the asphalt, it just said locate. And I'm like, well, I think you guys fucking found it.
I lived in Morrisville for about 10 months or so.
That's too long.
I realized that Morrisville was just like Carrie's
redheaded stepchild.
I didn't really know what to do with itself. And I just figure out ways to not actually be in Morrisville.
Morrisville seems like their whole deal is we're just going to sell to like developers. We don't care what they're putting up or where, and we're not going to invest in the infrastructure beyond what we are absolutely minimally required to do.
It sounds about right.
So it's just a big Ponzi scheme. And they're just sitting there getting squeezed in between Cary and Apex the whole time going like, I just want more money. Give me more money.
You know what's crazy about Morrisville is, like, if you go like further to West Cary, like to Morrisville Carpenter,
yeah,
it turns into Cary
again.
Then it's fucking to Morrisville.
Yeah, it's. I hate this area for that reason. Like this. I love, like, oh, I'm in Cary. Where in Cary? That's like, I mean, that's like saying I'm in New York at this point. Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, Manhattan, oh, the Bronx, crap. Like Brooklyn. Is
Long Island.
What?
Morrisville is Long Island.
Ooh, gross. Which is,
oh my gosh.
Which is Staten Island.
Oh, it might even be Staten Island. Oh my gosh. It's like the sliver of nothing that shouldn't be there, but it's there. And you know it's there. You want to ignore it, but you see it waving at you.
You're welcome. I've helped you see the light. Morrisville is the Staten or Long Island of North Carolina.
Oh my God. I just realized after like well over 20 years of being back in this area, I just realized Morrisville is like Staten Long Island.
It's a long Staten Island.
It's a long Staten Island of the Raleigh suburbs. Ilk. And I used to live there, and I hate Long Island. Yeah. I freaking, oh, remember
I'm sorry
that
I had to do that to you.
Yeah. There was a guy that worked at E Area that was from Long Island. And he, like, to this day, refuses to say, you get to bleep this out. He would not admit he was from Long Island. And I know he's from Long Island.
Yeah. I still have that guy's name in my phone. Yeah. I noticed that today.
Gosh,
I know I'm gonna have a little bit of work to do on this episode. I gotta go back and bleep out some names, but that's okay. I got plenty of work to do on other episodes too.
Yeah, you were doing so well, bro.
I know, and I did.
You're like Philip Rivers throwing a pick in the fourth quarter.
Hey. You know, I'd like to think that I'm more like Bailey Hockman throwing a pick six in the third quarter, but then, you know, I've got such an amazing backup here.
That's adorable.
I mean, it's such an amazing support team. My sidekick. No,
wow.
I know. It went from like, oh, that's nice, to, dude, fuck you real quick.
Yeah, I'm not sidekick level, bro.
It's no, definitely not. This is a dynamic duo with no sidekicks. But yeah, I know. I was doing really good with the episodes. I just kind of fell off. I'll tell you what, man. Episode 34, I don't know what it is. We jumped around topics. Like, I'm sitting there going like, fuck, we're back on politics, business, politics, cooking, sports. Politics,
you should just make a bumper that says, and final stretch.
Yeah, but it'd be like the last hour and 15 minutes of that 2 hour long episode. So, no, it's all good. I think I've got about 45 minutes left of that one to finish. So I'll get that one done this week and get some more episodes out. I'm back in my same position now. Now I'm three episodes behind. So. I worked so hard to get out of it.
Yeah, and we were so close.
Like 1 week and I just all goes to hell.
It's like my wife's always like, we should have a little boy. I'm like, honey, we're so close to the finish line. Why would we quit the race right now? Like, there's one child left. We can like coast through. We're good.
Yep.
Chris, I believe in you, man.
I know. And your faith is all I need, Andre.
Our audience believes in you. And you know, we all believe in you that you can do your job.
I think we're going to have to start learning some Ukrainian. I don't know. What do they speak over in the Ukraine?
Typically Russian.
Okay. Well, I know we were getting some hits in Russia, too. So, das vidanya.
Yeah, okay.
I don't even know what that means.
It means goodbye.
Okay.
So,
oh, there you go.
On that note, we're glad you guys joined us. We're trying to, like, all right, here's the Andre monologue. Hey, if we don't do anything this election cycle, let's try to reset and try to get some level footing. We're literally in round 12 with like 45 seconds to go in the round, and we're lit up. Vote with your conscience, you know, no hard feelings, whoever you vote for. But we're really at a point where we have to course correct, because we're off the rails here. Like, we are literally off the rails. And we have 200,000 Americans that are gone. And I don't want to do like the, you know, the what if game, but I'm sure if we would have done things differently in the onset, we'd be in better shape. You know, we'd probably we'd have a path to what we should be doing next to hopefully preserve American lives. That's more people than Vietnam. That's more people than the entirety of the Gulf War, the wars in the Middle East. It's a multitude of, you know, 9/11. And I just hope that, you know, as American people, we can kind of sit back. Hell, that's Chris's town and my town combined, plus some of Americans like gone, or close to it. You know, it's just like we can do a lot better than what we're doing. So, you know, I hope people vote with their conscience. I hope that people understand that, even though things are murky right now, that we can do better together than what we can do with the divisiveness and the rhetoric. And understand that, you know, we all have people that we love that are on the other side of the conversation. And if we love them, that means that at some point we agree on certain things. And that's where we need to get back to. That's not some hippie, like, you know, Birkenstock conversation for me. That's kind of like, no, I have friends that are on the other side of the conversation. But when we eat a meal together, when we spend time together, we agree on the basics of human life. And that's where we need to get back to. Because where we are now, and I'm a unicorn, I can kind of look past the rhetoric and remember that I love this person, I can move on. But the vast majority of our country right now, we're not there. And whether it's COVID-19, whether it's, you know, what we're doing with like conflicts in other countries, whether it's the economy, the real economy, where people are losing their jobs. And I have friends that are literally wondering what they're going to do next month. Those are real issues, and we need to get to a point where we can actually at least address and talk about and figure out next steps to move beyond these things so we can figure out what our next level is. I just don't see our current situation providing a path to that. So, you know, I know I've tried to do good. I don't want to talk about our president because I think it's given me like four different gray hairs. And I don't want to get so wrapped up in the noise that I forget what people are saying to me. Like, their pain, their hurt, their struggles are real things. And what do we do as Americans to move forward and like really be there for our peoples? Yeah.
Well said.
That was my monologue.
I don't have anything to add to that. I'm going to ditto.
As always, you can find us at chrisandandreshow.com, where we occasionally write articles that kind of expand on our thoughts. We're on all the podcast places. Tune in. I'm going to try to get this one at the first Apple Podcast. Mm-hmm. All right, I got it right that time. Spotify, Pandora, Google Play Music, which will eventually become iTunes Music,
YouTube.
You crap.
Don't YouTube. Clerk you in public.
Yeah, don't cry. Yeah. Oh, it's so painful. But yeah, we love doing this every week. We don't love publishing consistently, but
no, I mean, that would take all the fun out of the surprise of, do I get a new Chris and Andre episode this week, or is it just a 2-minute trailer of Andre telling the story about how we found out that Michael Jordan went to Carolina? Like, that's kind of all you're going to get for last week. And I mean, let's be honest, you should be happy that you get any of this. So
I'll tell you what, I will tell you this, Bubba Wallace.
Oh yeah. 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 We got to give a shout out to Bubba Wallace. So him, Michael Jordan, and one of my least favorite, but I mean, he's a good driver. I just don't like his personality that much. Denny Hamlin, putting together a race team. I think that's awesome. I was talking to my mom about it earlier, and she was like, that's crazy. And I'm like, well, you mean you think about it, like Jordan's been down in Charlotte for a hot minute now. And what is there to do other than Hornets basketball? It's NASCAR. I mean, like, that's it. So,
or open a bank, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, like, I think it makes perfect sense. And, you know, I think he saw an opportunity with Bubba, right? Petty is a great developmental team. You know, like, they, I mean, obviously they have the history with Richard and
it's Richard Petty.
Yeah, he's it's Richard Petty. Yeah. But unfortunately, they're not, you know, at the same level as like a Hendrick Motorsports or, you know, Penske or some of those other guys where, they, I mean, they've got billions of dollars invested in these things. And so, you know, Bubba, I think the team did everything they could to support him and to provide him with a.
Hey, who turned out the lights?
All right. So we are running into technical difficulties, but, we're going to come back next week and talk about Bubba Wallace because I'm probably going to get into NASCAR. We're glad that you joined us. We're glad that you joined us from around the world. And as always, I'm Andre.
And I'm Chris.
We'll talk to you next time.
I lost my face mask the other day, so when I went to the store, I just borrowed my girlfriend's. The bottle said it was a 5-minute face mask, so I just kept reapplying it.